Vaishtake. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from First Canto, Chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali. Text 1. Sutta Uvacha. Tatra go mitunam rajan. Anyamanam anatabalat. Dandahastam chavrishalam. Dadrishenri palanchanam. Sutta Uvacha. Tatra go mitunam raja. Hanyamanam anatavat. Dandahastam chavrishalam. Dadrishe nripalanchanam. Sutta Uvacha. Mitunam Raja. Amanam Anatavat. Andahastam Chavrishalam. Dadrishevri Chalanchalam. Sutta Uvacha. Tinam Laja Anatavat Adantavi Chalam Sinipalam Vacham. Vaishnavis, Sutta Uvacha. Shri Sutta Goswami said, Tatra Deropan Gomitunam, a cow and a bull, Raja, the king, Hanyamanam, being beaten, Anatavat, appearing to be bereft of their honor, Dandahastam, with a club in hand, Cha, also, Vrishalam, lower caste Shudra, Dadrishe, observed, Nripa, a king, Lanchanam, dressed like. Translation. Sutta Goswami said, after reaching that place, Maharaj Parikshit observed that a lower caste Shudra, dressed like a king, was beating a cow and a bull with a club, as if they had no honor. The principal sign of the age of Kali is that the lower caste Shudras, men without Brahminical culture and spiritual initiation, will be dressed like administrators or kings. And the principal business of such non-Kshatriyas rulers will be to kill the innocent animals, especially the cows and the bulls, who shall be unprotected by their masters. The bona fide Vaishyas, the mercantile community, in the Bhagavad Gita 1844, it is said that the Vaishyas are meant to deal in agriculture, cow protection and trade. In the age of Kali, the degraded Vaishyas, the mercantile men, are engaged in supplying cows to slaughterhouses. The Kshatriyas are meant to protect the citizens of the state, whereas the Vaishyas are meant to protect the cows and bulls and utilize them to produce grains and milk. The cow is meant to deliver milk, and the bull is meant to produce grains. But in the age of Kali, the Shudra class of men are in the post of administrators, and the cows and bulls, or the mothers and the fathers, unprotected by the Vaishyas, are subjected to the slaughterhouses organized by the Shudra administrators. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana salakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble respect and obeisance unto him. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Maharaj Parikshit, he was traveling around his kingdom, supervising how everything was going on. And in a secluded place, he found this scene. The Shudra dressed like a king with a club in hand beating a cow and a bull. He was like completely shocked. He never in his life have seen such a scene before. No? So he immediately was going to kill that Shudra. But he first started asking questions. First of all, he was, you know, in full wonder how a bull was standing in one leg. I mean, no ordinary bull can stand one leg. It's impossible. Not even two. So that was a mystical thing. It wasn't a normal thing. So that's why he asked the bull if he was a demigod. To give us grief in your condition. What is the reason behind it? Who's that evil person who perpetrated chopping off your three legs? How that happened? So he was in that way asking questions, and the bull spoke to him. I mean, usually bulls and cows don't speak, but in this case, obviously, it's not like a normal, as we know it, situation. It was an extraordinary situation that was going on. So, in that sense, the bull starts speaking philosophy. High philosophy. He said, some thinkers think this way because of we are creating our own happiness and distress. Some others said, it's the supreme will. And those who accuse the accuser, they are so guilty too. And so he understood. He immediately understood by hearing that he was talking to Dharma, religion personified. He understood immediately the situation. So just see, that was a symptom that Kali Yuga started. By mistreating the poor cow and bull. That's a That's how we start everything. So, of course, nowadays, what to speak nowadays? The cows go to slaughterhouses. The bulls too. There was one story I hear that happened some years ago in Hong Kong. In a slaughterhouse, they took a bull into the slaughterhouse to be killed. But as soon as the bull entered the slaughterhouse, he smelled death. And he fell on his knees, crying, with no intention to get up. They were beating him, pushing him. He would not get up. He was a big animal, you know, huge animal. So the workers there, seeing such a big animal on his knees crying, their hearts softened a little bit. So they decided to collect money among themselves to buy the bull from the slaughterhouse. They did that. And they came to the bull and told him, "Don't worry, you are not going to be killed. We took care of that. We are going to take you to some Buddhist monastery. They were going to take care of you. They will not kill you." And after hearing that, he immediately got up. Amazingly, he got up and went with them. Another story I hear, amazing story too, of a cow that was her turn to be killed in a slaughterhouse. But the lunchtime arrived, so they stopped. Okay, after lunch we will do it. But the cow immediately understood something wrong is going on here. So the cow jumped the wall like 3 meters high. I mean a cow. Imagine her desperation, you know, to do that. How much strength she have to, courage to do that. And they were looking for her everywhere. A couple of vegetarian people were living, having a little farm. They found her, and the owner of the slaughter, they came, they paid for her, and they kept her in their farm. Another strange story, nearby New York, one cow also escaped a slaughterhouse and was in New York City among the traffic, and you know. So the police called the cow and took it to the police station. And now the owners of the slaughterhouse came to reclaim it. But the police said no. She was brave enough to escape the slaughterhouse. She had a chance for life. We're not going to give it to you. Sorry. So that's the leg, that's the last leg on which the bowl of Dharma standing, which is truthfulness, you know. Still, people appreciate, you know, truthfulness, to be honest, to be, you know, to do the right thing. Still are people like that. And that's diminishing, of course, with false propaganda and all these things. Once I was in flight to Texas from somewhere, and in the flight I met a cowboy, a Texan cowboy. He was next to me. So he saw I was dressed like this, chanting, you know. So we started a conversation. And I started to preach to him about, you know, compassion for the animals, not kill them. And he told me, I have to reveal to you something. He said, "I have a ranch with cows for milking. But after they don't give any more milk, I was sending them to the slaughterhouse. I hardly went to that ranch, but and then after some time I started visiting more frequently. And then the cows start recognizing me. And I start putting name to them. And when I come, they will come running to me and in happiness. So I immediately thought, this is wrong, you know. These animals have feelings. They show love and they show affection. That's an ungrateful thing to do, to send them to slaughterhouse, you know." So he said, "I stopped doing that. I let them live until they die now." And just by his own, he decided that by his own. So when people see by themselves, you know, they have feelings. But because people are there, like in Mexico, I thought was giving a lecture about those things, and one lady said, well, I don't kill them, I just go to the supermarket and buy them all packed up, you know. So there is a saying in Spanish that an eyes that doesn't see, a heart that doesn't feel. If you don't see it, you don't feel it. You have to see it. That's why Paul McCartney said that if slaughterhouses has a transparent glass, many people give up eating meat, you know. He sent a very heavy letter to the Dalai Lama about that, because, you know, the Dalai Lama was previously vegetarian. I mean, when he went to Venezuela, one devotee asked him if he was, and he said 100%. But then his doctor advised him, for health reason, you have to eat meat. Instead of changing doctors, he changes diet. Anyway, so it's very important, this principle of compassion. Principle of compassion for humans and animals too. It's very important. I will tell you how I became vegetarian. That was maybe in 72, around that time, I started practicing yoga. That was in Venezuela. And my friend who introduced me to yoga, he was vegetarian, but I wasn't yet. I was thinking about it. And my friend would tell me, when are you going to do it? I say, any moment now, any given day, I will become. Okay. So one day this friend told me, would you like to have a mystical experience? I said, of course, what we have to do? He said, well, I heard a friend of mine told me that in a certain mountain you can find magical mushrooms that grow from the cow dung, and if you eat them, you will have a spiritual visions. I told him, I never heard about this. He said, me either, but let's try it, you know, see what happens. Okay, let's go for it. Remember, I wasn't a devotee yet. So anyway, we went up to the mountain. The cows were grazing there, and we found from the cow dung many mushrooms growing. So we collected few, you know, put some lemon on it, you know, just for the bacteria or something. And we took few of those. And after like few minutes, we are starting, you know, hallucinating. It was an hallucinogenic. And of course, everything was, the colors brighter, and the distances shortened and large, and, you know, the wind was blowing in low, slow motion, like the movies, you know. All kind of crazy things were going on. And suddenly I looked around and my friend disappeared on me. I didn't know where he was. So the sun was setting. I thought I must, you know, still hallucinate. I must go down the mountain. Like 1 hour walk down the mountain. So we walked down and arrived at a road where I can get some transportation. But nearby was a cow grazing. No? So I approached the cow and started fondling the cow, you know, touching the cow. And to my great shock, the cow spoke to me. And the cow said, you're an hypocrite. You're a hard-hearted person. You're fondling me, but you're still eating me. I'm giving you milk, yogurt, butter, even this mushroom you took. But still you are so hard-hearted, you have no compassion on me. When I hear that, I fell on my knees. I start praying to the cow, please forgive me. I will never again do it. Please forgive me. People was passing through their car and were looking, shoo, 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 shoo. This guy went nuts, you know. Anyway, so the cow said, okay, if you promise, for sure, yes, I promise for sure, never again. Okay, then I'll forgive you. You can go in peace now. So I hugged the cow, crying. And when I told my friend, he was cracking, you know, like something like that have to happen to you to make your mind, you know. Anyway, so I mean to say, people, because they don't know, I mean, many people, they're just innocent. They don't know that it is wrong to kill the animals and and to eat them. They don't know. When they hear about them, they become curious. They want to know why more, you know. Unfortunately, you know, even if they follow some kind of religion, it doesn't advise them to become vegetarian. Recently, I heard the wonderful Sankirtan story that happened in Ukraine. One Sankirtan devotee knocked on somebody's home. And one lady opened the door and he offered the books. She said, "Yes, I want to buy those books. Please come into my home to get you the money." So he went into the home and she went to get the money. And in the hall, he saw a life-size painting of Lord Jesus. So he stopped admiring the painting. Then the lady came back with the money. She said, "I want to buy all these books." "Oh, you like the painting of Jesus?" "Yes, yes, I love it. It's very beautiful." She said, "I have to tell you something. 3 nights ago, I had a dream. And in the dream, Lord Jesus told me, I strongly advise you to become vegetarian. And in 3 days from now, a man is going to knock on your door to offer you some books. Buy them all." It's a true story. It happened recently in Ukraine. So it's good to know Jesus on our side, you know. Now we can tell the people, you know. It's a fact, you know, that first Christians were all vegetarians. They believed in karma, reincarnation. You know, there is proof of that. Until the year 324. What happened that year? That one Roman emperor, Justinian, he had a wife, was an ex-prostitute. She didn't like the idea that maybe she was an animal in past life or could become an animal in next life. So she influenced her husband to, you know, shut down the idea of reincarnation from Christianity. And she was the emperor, you know. So they have to listen to him. Otherwise, they will not be able to preach in the empire, you know. So they had to make a compromise. But you will find in the Bible many quotes against animal killing, you know, or the meat eating. For one of them is Romans 14:21. It is said there, "It is good not to eat meat or drink wine." And why is that quote? Because when Romans start become Christians, some of them didn't want to give up meat and wine. So the followers, they send a letter to St. Paul asking him about it. And his answer was, "It is good not to eat meat or drink wine." No? I told one man with his Bible in hand went to our temple in Mexico. And I quoted that verse from the Bible. After the class, he came and opened the Bible. "Oh yes, it is there. It is true." And you know what he said? "Well, it say it is not good, but doesn't say it is bad." So the mind, you know, play tricks on them, you know. If something is not good, what it is? You know? But anyway, that's the situation, what it is. So King Parikshit, being a true ruler, immediately was going to take action. Immediately. I mean, animals who are born in the country are also citizens, and they deserve protection from the government as a human being. But nowadays, of course, everything is upside down, you know. Nothing is doing their real, actual duty. So, when we speak about Vedic culture, what was told me, there is no such thing as Vedic culture. I told him, "Wait a minute. Let me try to explain to you what Vedic culture means. Vedic culture means Varna Shram Dharma. That is Vedic culture. When people follow, of course, there is no Vedic culture now, but there was before Vedic culture, because there was people following the Varnashrama Dharma, you know, therefore fulfilling their duties as such. Dharma Svanushtito Pumsam Bishbakshena Kathasuya Notpaya Diratiratim Shirama Eva Ikevalam. That, of course, all the idea of Varnashram Dharma is to have God-centered society, that the whole purpose of all members of the society, it doesn't matter on what varna or ashram they are, they have to be God-conscious, directed by the brahmanas who are the intelligent class of people. So this verse explains that doesn't matter what is your dharma in the varnashram, if at the end of the day you don't feel attraction for hearing about the glories of the Lord, then all your endeavor is a waste of time. Because there is also Asuri Varnashram. For example, Jarasandha. He was a Vedic demon. He loved to give charity to the Brahmanas. And that got him killed. You know how? Because knowing his charitable disposition toward the Brahmanas, Krishna, Bhima, and Arjuna disguised themselves as Brahmanas and went to his kingdom to beg for a fight. So they came in front of him. Immediately he recognized they were not Brahmins because they have big shoulders and, you know, there is a mark of the bow in their shoulder and all that. So he said, okay, I can see you are not Brahmana, but since you came disguised Brahmana, you can still, I'm gonna give you whatever you want. Ask me anything you want. And they present themselves. Krishna said, this is, I am Krishna, this is Bhima, this is Arjuna, and we came here to ask an alm for you to fight one of us. Then Jarasandha started laughing, say, oh, okay, agreed. Krishna, I'm not gonna fight you. Well, the reason is because I don't know if you're Vaishya or Kshatriya or whatever you are, but it is not clear enough for me that you're a Kshatriya. So I can't fight you. You're inferior to me. Arjuna is younger than me, will not be a proper fight, you know, a just fight. But Bhima is good, big enough, I will fight him. So while fighting each other, lasted 21 days fighting each other, Bhima was desperate. Jarasandha was very strong and powerful. But he was looking at Krishna for some indication. And Krishna showed him, took a branch of twig, that has, you know, two openings, and he broke it in half. So Bhima understood what he had to do. He took one of the legs of Jarasandha and tore him in half. Oh, he was happy, killed him. But as soon as he turned his back, the two came along together again and start fighting him again. So he again fighting. But he looked at Krishna, please. Then Krishna did the same thing again, but he turned the other way around, each branch. So he understood that after he pushed him to the ground and tore him in half, he turned each piece the other way. So they could not face each other and join again. And that's how Jarasandha was killed. But Jarasandha appeared in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know. He incarnated in Chaitanya Lila. Who? The King Nawab Hussein Shah. when he saw Lord Chaitanya from the balcony, he was along with Rupa Goswami, but that time he was working for the government. He was surprised about the sannyasi. He asked Rupa Goswami, who's the sannyasi? You know, Rupa Goswami was worried, afraid that the king may want to harm the Lord. So he said, no, it's one more sannyasi. There are many sannyasis, one of them. No, he's not. Thousands of people following him. He's not giving them even food or water, money, nothing. And I see his emotion. But for me, he's definitely the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A very intelligent demon. Anyway, so I will stop here. If you have any comments and questions. Of course, I would like to talk about Lokanath Das Goswami since today is his appearance day. But please go ahead. Yes, Mataji? Yeah. Please, Mike.
You were speaking about all the cows that have escaped from the slaughterhouses. There's one story about a couple that got married later in life. It was a second marriage for both of them. She was a vegan, and he's a rancher. And this is in Texas. And she used to take her guitar and go sing for the cows. And her husband would say, "Don't you go singing to those cows now. And you're going to make friends with them." And she did. And eventually she changed his heart, and their whole ranch became a cow sanctuary. It's called Rowdy Girl. I think it's in Texas. Another comment. There's some unscrupulous, there's a movement in India among some unscrupulous butchers that they say those cows that don't have the hump on the back, they're not the India cows, sort of, they're called dog cows. They call them dog cows, and those cows are okay to kill and eat.
Yeah, yeah. I met one Indian man here in the U.S. once, and I saw him coming out of what is that burger? McDonald's, with a burger in his hand. I immediately said, "Are you Hindu and you're eating your mother?" He looked at me like a little, you know, shaking a little bit. He said, no, these are Melecha cows. The real cows are the ones that have the hunch in their back, but these are Melecha cows, not real cows. And I told him, then we Westerners are not human beings. If he was not born in India, then you are not a human being. If a cow was born outside India, it is not a cow. I mean, he was ashamed, actually, but I had to chastise him, you know.
And I have one other comment. We're reading now about the government and how bad the government is and, you know, what the government will become in Kali Yuga. And we've heard so many comments from devotees here that speak about the government and how bad it is now under the present situation. But there is a devotee that is running for president of the United States, and I think how proud Srila Prabhupada is that this is happening. This is his prediction that this would happen now. And
hopefully, we all want that.
You know, and devotees should be very supportive of this situation. Huh? You know, and put aside differences that a Vaishnava who wears tilak, has her hand in a bead bag, is running for president of the United States.
That would be great.
It's extraordinary.
Let's pray for it. Thank you. Any other comment or questions? Give him the mic, please.
King Hussein.
Is it in the waste question is, what is your question? Put your mic.
Did you say in your class that Jarasandha
was Nawab Hussain Shah? That's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita itself. Okay. All right. Any other comment, questions? Let's talk about Lokanath Goswami then. Since today is his appearance day. That's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada's in Madhya Lila 1849. He mentioned Lokanath Das Goswami. Sri Lokanath Goswami was a personal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and a great devotee of the Lord. He was a resident of a village named Talakadi in the district of Yashohara, Jeshur, in Bengal. His father's name was Padmanabha, and his only sibling was a younger brother named Pragalba. Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Lokanath went to Vrindavan to live. He established a temple named Gokulananda. Sri Narottam Das Thakur selected Lokanath Das Goswami to be his spiritual master, and Narottam Das Thakur was his only disciple. because Lokanath Das Goswami did not want his name mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we do not often see it in his in this celebrated book. So, was very humble, a great pure Vaishnava, Lokanath Das Goswami. He was ordered by Lord Chaitanya to go to Vrindavan before the six Goswamis. So he went there with his friend, Bhugarbha Goswami, and they helped the six Goswami later on to excavate the holy places and, you know, to establish the worship of the Lord. Once he wanted to have a deity, and Lord Krishna himself appeared to him and gave him a deity of Krishna and told him the name of this deity is Vinod, Radha Vinod. Radha Vinod. His body and mind were completely attached to Vrindavan Dham. The divine lilas of Radha Vinod played in his heart. His ears existed only to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone who reads the Srimad Bhagavatam, said Lokanath Goswami, he is my friend. It's good to know that he considers us to be his friend if we read Srimad Bhagavatam. Wonderful. Thank you, Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami carried his deity all over Braja in a cloth bag hung around his neck. Although reluctant to accept disciples, Lokanath Goswami finally initiated Narottam Das as his only disciple. He appreciated his genuine humility and determination to serve. Every night for 1 year, Narottam Das secretly served his guru by carefully cleaning the field where Lokanath Goswami passed to. You know, when Narottam Das Thakur approached Lokanath Das Goswami to ask him to be his guru, Lokanath Goswami refused. He said, no, I'm not accepting any disciples. But then he insisted, Narottam Das Thakur insisted, and Lokanath Goswami didn't say yes, but he said, well, you know that the custom is, before you ask for a shelter of a guru, you have to chant 100,000 names every day for a full year to get to prepare yourself. So I'm not promising you anything, but you should start, you know, doing this. That's 64 rounds per day. 100,000 names is 64 rounds. But secretly, Narottam, in his heart, wanted to serve his guru, you know. So he was following him because Lokanath Das Goswami was so humble, he will not pass stool in Vrindavan. He will cross the Yamuna, the other side, outside Vrindavan, to do it there. He had an area to do that. And Narottam Das Thakur will follow him, and after he will leave, he will clean the place, throw water, you know, do all these things. So the next day when Lokanath Goswami will come, he sees all the place nicely neat and clean. And that was going on for some time. Then Lokanath Goswami decided to hide to see who was coming to clean the place. And then he came out of his hiding. Ah, it is you. And then Narottam fell at his feet crying for his mercy, you know. Then Lokanath Goswami heart, you know, softened. And he agreed to accept him as disciple. But he was his only disciple. In Krishna Lila, he is Manjulali Manjari in Nitya Vrindavan Lila. I will tell you one pastime about him and his deity, Radha Vinod. He had an assistant, Brahmachari, to help him cook for his deity, Radha Vinod. So one day, after he bathed the deity and dressed him nicely, Lokanath Goswami was staring with so much devotion at Radha Vinod that he became immersed in ecstasy and forgot himself. After a while, he went to the kitchen. The Brahmachari was there waiting for him, and they start cooking for Radha Vinod. They cooked the feast lunch, for the Lord. And when they finished cooking, the brahmachari went to close the curtain to make the offering. But he was shocked to see that Lokanath was standing in front of the deities with folded hand. But he was, because he just left him in the kitchen. So how he moved to the kitchen so fast without seeing him? So he went around to the kitchen. He wasn't there. And then Lokanath Goswami turned his face and saw the brahmacharya and asked him, "Oh, it is late. We should go start cooking for the deity." "What you're talking about? We just cooked together the feast for him." "Me? Yes, you helped me cooking." "No, I didn't." So then he realized that not to interrupt his ecstatic absorption in Radha Vinod, the Lord Himself expanded Himself as Lokanath and went to cook for Himself out of love for His devotee. You know, so that's to share that pastime. Hare Krishna. Shri Lokanath Das Goswami ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanandi. Alivo. The Lord expanded Himself.